we're talking about Black Friday, Cyber Monday. Before we even jump into all this, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there thinking, Black Friday, I got it. Been around for a long time, know what that is, understand it. For those who don't, that's the, you know, day after Thanksgiving, when traditionally it's said that many, many, many retailers, certainly traditional sort of format retailers, they go through the entire year in the red, basically losing money, and that tide turns the day after Thanksgiving, the traditionally the biggest shopping day of the year, and that's the day that flips them from the red into the black, thus Black Friday. And from then on, then it's a mad dash to the end of the year, where that's where all their profits are realized for the entire year. And it seems insane to think about that. And on paper, it's not like they're losing money all year long and finally they're making. It's just, if they had to measure sort of on a scale, it's they lose money for... it takes them the equivalent of 11 months worth of retail activity to get 1 month of profitability. So 12%. No, not 12%. My math has now left me. If there's 12 months in a year, help me with this, Kevin. You're the math guy.
A little bit less than 9%.
Yeah, so there's a 9% profit margin then is sort of, if you're thinking about this from a sort of economic standpoint, and I sound really smart right now because I can't do simple math in my head. That's cool. I just realized that. It's excellent. Anyway, Kevin's looking at me like, well, that's the way you always sound, dude.
Yeah, I just kind of phased out. I'm reading some of the Black Friday ads online right now.
So, Black Friday, we all understand what that is. And if you didn't, I probably just confused you more, or, yeah, whatever the case is. But Cyber Monday, that's one that some of you haven't heard before. You're not familiar with that term. And that's the day. That's the day after the day after the day after the day of Black Friday. It's the Monday right after Thanksgiving, where they say traditionally, because people went out over the weekend and started making their traditional purchases, now they're back at work on that first Monday, and they still got the let's get all my gifts taken care of now thinking on their mind, and so...
they've got the purchasing itch.
Yeah, the purchasing itch is on in full effect, and so that's been, since the last couple of years where online shopping has become big, that's been the biggest day for online shopping. It's because people now are at work, they're supposed to be working, but of course they're not. Instead, they're following their purchasing itch. They're scratching said itch by shopping online. And so today's show is about those two things. Again, you can see resources, check out links, see a picture of some smiling guys on the radio, datadoctors.com/radio. That's where you'll find those things. And, of course, on the right-hand side, you'll find links to give us some feedback if you're interested in doing so. We check those out and read them on here in studio. And if they're absolutely fascinating and awesome, then we read them on the air. So check those things out. And perhaps with that, we'll jump to the phones. I'll remind you the number, 602-277-5827. I got one line open at the moment if you want to dial on in. It's a place for you. And up first, it is the Barnacle himself. It is the other Lewis. But we won't call him Lewis anymore because it's confusing. The Barnacle.
Hey, yeah, how confused can you get?
I'm already confused, sir.
Yeah, well, I started out confused. Do you have anybody there who's used MySpace and Facebook and other blogs and can give me some advice about which one?
So, yeah, we've got, I think, everybody here. Everybody in the room use MySpace and Facebook and other social media sites?
From time to time.
Okay, so everybody in the room's at least had some experience, so I think you probably got a decent group of people.
Okay,
And in fact, before we jump into some of your specific questions about that, a few weeks from now, we're going to do a show on social networks, and we've done some shows in the past, but things have changed and things have progressed, and we're going to talk about that in a show in just a few weeks. We have that sort of planned, and we're going to actually... it's going to be an interactive show. So where in the past, we've tried a few experiments like this, but we're going to try a big social experiment right here live on the air, where we're going to ask people to follow a couple of steps. If they're already a member of a specific social networking site, then great, their steps will be fewer. And if they're not, we're going to have them in real time sign up and do a couple of things. And we're going to see, just as an experiment to show you some of the power of social networks, we're going to do something live on the air in a few weeks. So you won't want to miss that show. I'm thinking probably the second Saturday in December. So
there'll be a lot of twittering going on.
Yeah, there'll be some twitting.
I am going to have to probably make a decision by then about which one I'm going to use, because I want a link from my up-and-coming website to it.
Okay. Well, you mentioned two specific ones. You mentioned MySpace and Facebook.
And but that's not all that there's out there. What I want is something that will be easy for me to use with minimal time, because I want to be out kiteboarding.
Okay.
And also easy for my kiteboarding friends who are non-tech savvy to get in and share information.
Okay. And so is the ability to update your sort of status and what's happening, excuse me, and post photos and those kinds of things, is doing that while on the go, meaning from your mobile device, is that important to you as well?
That probably would be part of it, yeah. Okay. And also others would, you know, they may take pictures that they want to put up.
Okay.
Some of the basic information stuff I would have on my website. This would be just kind of a day-to-day type information.
Well, Lewis, let me just break down a couple of some basics for you, and then we'll see if we need to progress a little further. We got about a minute before we're coming up on the bottom of the hour news, so we're going to go quickly here. Of the two big players out there, you named them both, MySpace and Facebook. MySpace tends to skew a little younger in age, so it's certainly a lot of adults use it. A lot of bands and things promote its interface, and things is a lot more liberal. A lot more stuff can happen there. Where Facebook is a little bit more, I call it sort of the adult MySpace. It's cleaner. It just seems a little bit more adult, and it works in a little bit different way. But the good news is that any of these kinds of things allow you to plug in very easily from mobile devices. In fact, linking them together, linking them in with your Twitter accounts, those kinds of things, all very easy. So I, if it was me making the choice blindly, I'd say Facebook for you, because... We're talking about Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and... Well, we got resources posted for you. If you don't know what those things are, you can get educated. If you want some links to some deals, we might have some of that. And more importantly, we're going to help you steer clear of the things that appear to be deals but really aren't deals. So you'll want to stick around and listen up for that here in the show. All the lines are booked up. When you hear somebody hang up, 602-277-5827 is the number for you. Before we went to break, we were talking with Lewis, who he's a regular caller, and he was wondering, he wants to get online and start something in the social media world. And
yeah.
We were steering him towards the Facebook idea.
Yeah, what confuses me a little bit is the difference between a website and a blog. When you look at them on the screen, on the internet, they look fairly similar.
Well, blog is just short for a web log, meaning like a running account, sort of a journal, but... in the old days of journals and diaries, generally those were things you kept to yourself. This is the things that you want to share with the world, but also be able to go back days, weeks, months, years from now and sort of, well, that was kind of cool. I remember this. And then it also allows people, assuming you allow it too, to comment. And when, so you say, hey, check out this new kite surfing board I got. How awesome is this? And then, you know, your friends can say, not so awesome. Check out the new one I got. And then the other guy can go, it's pretty awesome, but... Yeah, not so long. You know what I mean? You can sort of talk back and forth, and you can stay connected with people that you otherwise kind of lose touch with. So
it's a matter of who hosts it. They blog like MySpace or something like that, or Facebook would host your blog. And in the case of a website, you would have a registered website. Is that the difference mainly?
A website can be anything you want it to be. I mean, that's just a sort of generic term for a place you go. Where blogs are more specific, keep in mind, none of these social media things are really about specifically being a quote-unquote blog. They're about that in addition to a lot of other things. And so they're just ways for people to post information about what they're doing or things on their mind, or, you know, depending on sort of the niche, it can be for you to try to, you know, reach out and recruit people if you own a business, for you to try to hook up and put together a class reunion if you're in charge of doing something like that. I mean, whatever you want it to be is what you want it to be, but it's generally a place for people to sort of gather and, you know, like in Facebook, you can become part of a cause and show support. You can be parts of discussion groups. You can hook up with friends. You can, I mean, whatever you want to do. It's
yeah.
So a lot of them have different groups that you can join, you know, Save the Turtles or Save the Trees. I mean, I get all sorts of garbage on them. But, you know, it's mainly to seamlessly interact with the people around you or not around you. You know, people that you possibly haven't communicated with in 20-plus years.
Are we talking about similar things for the... I found some that are Blogspot and Weblog. Are those... like Facebook and MySpace, only just...
They're specific. Again, it's a little bit tough to understand, but if you want to just do a traditional blog, quote unquote, and you really just want to have a small group of people that are like in by invitation only and that kind of thing, and you don't want to broadcast to the world, and you're not looking to pick up other people that might be interested in kitesurfing that you don't know, then a blog might be the right thing for you. It's more of a private and a group kind of chat thing. But when you want to get involved in a community that may already exist of existing kite surfers, and you want to find other people that have that similar interest, and you want to make it easier for them to find you, that's where the social media sites come in. They help you link up with other people, whether they're people that you know, people that have similar interests, people that have a similar cause, whatever it is. They're designed to make it really easy. For example, when you sign up on Facebook, when I first signed up, it immediately asks me, you know, where did I go to high school? Where do you work? Where are the places you worked in the past? And the more information you give it about yourself, it starts to suggest people that you went to school with, that you may know, people that live in the same town you live in. In Phoenix, obviously, it's a big town, so it's not real accurate at those things. But places you've worked certainly links you up quickly with other people that are already there that you may have interest with.
Uh-huh.
And if you start
Are they free? Are they free and ad-supported,
yes.
I assume?
Yes. That's how these guys, they make money, by linking and bringing people in and getting lots of eyeballs. And then, of course, they sell advertisements. And generally, it's because they have information about you now. The people who are paying to advertise get to only pay to be in front of people that are likely to buy their products. So that's good for the advertiser, but that's also good for you. If you've got to be hit with ads somewhere, wouldn't it be nice to be hit with ads that might be things you're interested in versus just garbage that doesn't make any sense to you?
Yeah. Well, so, I think I've made a momentous decision. It might change my life. I think I'm going to go with Facebook.
All right. Well, we're glad to... have you announce your candidacy here on the air, Mr. No. Yeah, so that I mean, that's great. So you'll definitely want to stick around.
Put barnacle in my keywords.
You know, if you want people to find you as that, then I think absolutely. But
I'll pass on that one.
To tell you what, I'm going to give you a homework assignment, Mr. Lewis. So you're going to go and do your Facebook thing. And a few weeks from now, you're going to be listening, and you're going to hear us talking about, and you're going to see the newsletter come out about the social networking show we're going to do. And you'll have had a few weeks head start on the experiment, and you can help give us a little bit of insight in what you went through in learning and just understanding how these things work in general. And I think you might be able to provide something.
Sounds like a deal.
All right?
Yeah, right now, my time's all spent up trying to get my web page together. So,
Don't.
Sounds like a good deal.
I wouldn't waste a whole lot of time trying to get a web page together. You're going to find real quickly that you can do what you want to do pretty quickly and easily, and probably in one of these worlds without a lot of coding knowledge, so to speak.
But I have to do that for my class anyway, so I'm this is a spinoff.
You go, boy, as they say.
Oh, all right.
All right, Lewis. Thanks for the call.
I'm looking forward to the rest of the show. Thanks, guys.
All right, talk to you later. Bye-bye. Okay, then. Bye-bye now. Wow. Lewis is always, it's like a mixed blessing, right? Really, with Lewis. He asks good stuff sometimes. Good dialogue.
That was informative.
It was informative. He made a what did he call it? A
momentous.
Momentous?
Decision. Yes. Am I making up words?
I think he meant monumental. Maybe he said that? A momentous decision. Maybe he meant momentous. I don't know what he meant. Either way, that was Lewis. We got a line open for you. 602-277-5827. And before we jump to a quick break here, let's talk a little bit about, and I'm going to address this probably at Kevin more than anyone, but anyone else, feel free to jump in here. Some of the things, the real obvious sort of, they're advertised deals. People stand in line for these things and camp out sometimes, but they're really not deals at all. What are some of the big ones out there that maybe people should be leery or weary of, at least?
I would say the biggest one that I see every single year is the laptops that are $299 or $399 in all of those ads. And it's not just specifically the consumer electronic retailers, but you have, you know, some of the other places that do groceries and clothes and...
So what's wrong with buying a $300 laptop? I mean, that sounds like an awesome deal, right?
It sure is, unless you actually need to use it for something like email and the internet or listening to music.
Mm-hmm.
Those things don't have a lot of resources in them. And in addition to that, usually the parts are cheaper because they're made specifically for that 6 hours that one morning.
Right. There are a line of notebook computers specifically that a lot of manufacturers have just recently put out, and we're getting hit in our business by distributors trying to push these products. And they're not bad products. Let me start by saying that. They're products that are put out by companies that are reputable, that build good quality, solid pieces of equipment. But these things, to the average Joe consumer, if they don't understand what they're buying, they're really should be targeted at people like me. I have a couple of young kids, and really their life consists of getting on a couple of really simple websites, and I'm not talking about graphics intensive things. I'm talking about really simple basic things, doing basic things. And, you know, they're not trying to run spreadsheets, and they're not trying to run three applications at a time. They can't even handle, you know, they don't understand the concept. I try to get my kids to understand the minimize, maximize thing, and they can't get it. They just close everything when they're done and open something else. They only understand one channel at a time kind of idea. Something like a multitasking operating system just blow their minds. So for really simple basic needs, there are devices out there that are quality stuff, but people fall into buying these things thinking they're true laptops because they look like them. They even have an Intel processor. They're not the same Intel processors that power real machines. They're what they call Intel Atom processors. And if you buy one of these things, you're going to find real quickly it's not going to run the applications you want it to run.
But I think a lot of times when you're talking about processors and computers, people don't necessarily look at what processor is actually inside it. They're looking at the megahertz speed of the computer.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that kind of throws people off a bit.
Well, and sometimes people just don't know anything about the thing being sold, and they assume I need a laptop that's $300. That's a good idea. I need to get it before they start to think, what do I need to do, and who do I need to talk to figure out how I'm going to get that done, and what equipment I need,
and how long is this laptop going to last? Does it have any sort of expandability inside of it?
Right. So you got to start thinking a lot more along the terms of not I need a $300 laptop, but I need a machine that lets me do X, Y, and Z. And then if you don't know by just that sort of fact statement of what you need to do, what you should be looking to buy, then you need to get somebody you trust to help you figure out, you know, based on your needs of, again, X, Y, Z, these are the kinds of things that you need to have, these are the kinds of things that would be nice to have, and these are the kinds of things that don't matter at all. Right?
Yeah.
So think of it like when you go to buy a car. You don't just go to the lot and say, what's the cheapest thing you got? Buy it and then go, it won't pull my boat, right? Because we all know that the cheapest car on any car lot is probably not going to be a big, powerful, heavy diesel truck that's capable of pulling a big, heavy boat. It's probably going to be some, you know, a Honda Civic or whatever. And those are fine cars. But if you don't go into it sort of asking the right questions of yourself and what am I going to use it for? And, you know, I have six kids and I regularly do this and I go camping. And, well, you shouldn't be looking at certain kinds of cars when those are your requirements, right? And so it's a little bit more obvious because a car, you can sort of feel that tangible difference. But with computers, it's really the same thing.
Well, that should be the question you ask that salesperson no matter where you go. Or the salesperson, I'm sorry, salesperson should be asking you that. What are you using this machine for? If they're not asking that question, they're definitely not going to be able to sell you the right piece of equipment.
True that, as they say. We're going to take a quick time out here, pay a few... Corner. Sounds good.
Really good.
I was just trying to be
Brandon.
There is no charge for awesomeness. Remember that.
I was watching that movie last night.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
I do know what
you know the reference.
About. Oh, yes.
What movie
or
is
for
that?
Attractiveness.
What's this?
Kung Fu Panda.
Kung Fu Panda, baby.
Oh, I haven't seen
Great
that.
Movie.
Yeah, my kids love that movie. They watch it over and over and over.
Notice he says my kids.
You know what? Most of the time when they're watching it, we're driving somewhere. So I haven't gotten a little hack chip thing for my my car where it shows on the screen down on the, you know, the on the dash. And
on
it
the
shows
dash.
On the one in the back. So, yeah. Unless you're parked, in which case it shows up both places. But, yeah. Over and over. But I know, like, all the parts of the movie. And I don't know how we got so sidetracked.
Anyway.
You know PC Magazine? You heard of PC Magazine, right?
Sure.
Yeah, you guys know PC Magazine. They're going 100% digital. No more print. They're giving it up. They're saying so long to the print. They've been in business printing that magazine, shipping it out month by month by month by month since 1982. It's a long time, right?
That is a
How
lot.
Many years
That's
is that,
a
Kevin?
A long time.
That's a lot of years.
They provide reviews and tips and commentary and news all about computers and things, but January 2009 will mark the end of the Dead Tree Edition, as it's been known.
Well, you know what? If you're reading that magazine, you're just as likely to go to the website every now and then, and or maybe you subscribe to a newsletter.
Yeah. So they're ditching it starting February. It's only available in e-formats.
Don't they have a podcast as well?
You know, they very well may. It doesn't fit in my news story. That's all I got.
Yeah.
If you want news stories, tips, tricks, opinions, things to avoid, things to go after, all that stuff's available in your inbox as well. DataDoctors.com. Look for the place to put in your email address. Hit subscribe and voila. It will appear as if like magic. Anyway, before we jump back to phones, we weren't talking to somebody before we went to break, right?
No.
No. We're all good. You know, because sometimes we run out of show because I'm not thinking about it because it's not right in front of my face, but it is in front of Lewis's face. He takes time and preps each week with something topical in the world of Apple. And we thought, you know, let's just talk about it right now. What's happened in the world of Apple that's sort of newsworthy that people out there, it may affect their lives, they might care about that kind
of thing? I figured since we had a room of iPhone users, then I'm sure a few of our listeners must have iPhones as well.
There's a decent chance.
And there was a 2.2 update that came out yesterday.
Yeah, I got the text alert little thing and got a little email a little bit later. And then Ken came in and said, hey, did you get that little text alert thing? And
text, email, smoke signals.
Yeah, have you done the update? And I went, no. I was home last night and thought, I'm going to try the update. Yeah, nothing happened that I could tell other than it updated and it did a full backup first. It's like, you want to do the backup? I'm like, yeah, cool. And it took longer than I thought it would because I've never gone through the update process on these before. So maybe I was expecting, I don't know.
Maybe you should click on your phone, go to Safari.
Yeah.
Check out the web browser. It has a Google search now built into it.
Oh, you see, I already had that Google search thing that I downloaded a few days prior in the App Store. So I didn't even notice that.
Is it in the App Store any longer? Did they pull it out?
I don't know. I haven't looked. The cool new Google search thing is for iPhone users is awesome and then some. The only way they could make it better is if they could make it read your mind.
Well, they've got Street View now. That's nice.
Yeah, Street View's pretty cool. But the whole, instead of having to type what you want to do, what you want to search for, you put the thing up to your ear. It senses that it's near your ear, and it goes beep. And that's the cue for you to speak and say, Scottsdale and Shea. And you just say that, and it knows, and it goes, Scottsdale and Shea. Well, you mean East Scottsdale Road and Shea Boulevard. And a few seconds later, it brings you up a link to the Google Maps of it or the, you know, a restaurant that's on the corner or whatever. And what? It listened to my voice, translated it into words, searched for those words, and presented me results.
I know we've had a few customers that have found our locations that way, where they just... They didn't know we existed. They went up on the iPhone. They wanted an Apple store or an Apple reseller and said Mac Media, and there we were.
Bada bing, bada boom, huh? Like that. Yeah. So that thing is smart. I'm telling you, mind control, when they figure that out, this thing will be really awesome.
They're working on it, Brandon.
Yeah. So what else? Anything else in the world of Apple that's newsworthy?
They got the mass transit mapping on the phone now.
Like for the Phoenix Light Rail?
I don't believe that's on there yet.
Oh, you said mass transit, sorry.
Mass transit.
I guess it has to be A, functional, and B, used before they would probably have an app for that.
Yeah, right? I'm sure you're not going to find it in a real rural area.
Right? In a rural area. Like Flagstaff? Richard can't probably expect to
see mass transit system?
They have a bus, right?
Yeah.
The Mountain Lion?
A couple electric buses.
Have you seen the Mountain Line?
Yes.
Supposed to be a play on words of Mountain Lion, but it's Mountain Line.
Yes.
And that's... Yeah, that cruises around up in Flagstaff a lot.
Not too much traffic up there, though.
Ah, sir.
Very true.
On Route 66, a.k.a. Santa Fe, in the middle of the afternoon.
Okay.
Down by Enterprise, closer to downtown even.
But if you're local, you know to go around that little section right there.
Right, you skip it.
That's right.
Right? You do the Butler Bypass.
That's right.
As they say.
Well, if you want to check out the article that I wrote, you can go to our website, macmediainc.com/radio.
/radio. Imagine that.
We also have a link up there for the software update from Apple as well.
Awesome. Good stuff. You can check it out, macmediainc.com/radio. Or there's a link to radio show there in case you can't figure out the slash thing. It all works. When we come back, we got more of your calls and questions. We got a line open for you, 602-277-5827. It's the Data Doctors. You're listening to the Computer Corner. And we hope you stick around because Geekspeak.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode.
Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
no! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
Welcome to the second hour of the Computer Corner. If you missed any part of the show, fear not. You can get yourself caught up, at least in the links and resources and topics department. Just surf on over to datadoctors.com/radio, and you'll see links to things we're talking about. You'll see that our topic today is Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and we're helping you, hopefully, avoid some of the pitfalls and some of the deals that really aren't deals out there in the world. We talked a little bit before the break about probably the biggest thing that we see people that come to us generally sometime right after the holidays saying, I got this $300 laptop, and it's the cheap laptops that seem to hit hard. And we get people coming in, they just spent $300 on a laptop and it sounds too good to be true, and now they're asking us to put a bigger hard drive in, upgrade the RAM. Can we make this thing run faster? It's just not running properly. And they're willing to spend another couple $100 to try to see if they can fix this thing up. In some cases, they can. In other cases, they can't because it's not expandable. And by the time it's all said and done, their purchase price doubled. In order to get adequate antivirus, anti-spyware protection, in order to get the machine to perform properly, in order to get off all the sort of garbage that comes with it, and because you weren't adequately protected to get off the spyware and adware and sometimes virus and worm infections that are now on the machine. I mean, it's the purchase price does not end when you make that cheap computer purchase. It begins. And most people are going to spend more than double the amount by the time it's all said and done to make that machine do what they had hoped it would do in the first place, and then it's only doing it sort of marginally. And, of course, they have a very limited short-period warranty. And a year down the road, they're replacing the machine. Not because it's worn out, because it just doesn't really ever do what they wanted it to do.
But that $299 is not a good deal?
It can be a great deal as long as you understand what you're buying.
Well, during the break, you were talking about the extended warranties and the fact that the extended warranties on a lot of these $299 machines are actually more expensive than some of the machines that are like standard stock that they sell.
Yeah, the units aren't, they're not necessarily bad. It goes back to use, but in order for them to provide something at that price and not lose the most money, you've got to choose different brands of parts that they would normally use, maybe cheapen it up a little bit. Doesn't mean they're bad, but there are obviously some overcoming of objections those retailers have, and some of it's the price on a warranty. Mm-hmm. And they create different warranties that have a different coverage for that particular unit. So you may get a 3-year extended warranty or a 3-year service plan, whatever they choose to call it, but it doesn't necessarily cover the same as what some of the other units were.
Yeah.
Or they can be a little bit more pricey in their service plan because the unit is more prone to fail.
And we get people coming in all the time who have purchased extended coverage plans, service plans, warranties, whatever they want to call them at these stores that effectively doubled the price of what they bought, and they're surprised to find out. I mean, they're standing in our store because whatever their issue isn't covered. And a lot of people think that there's all kinds of things that warranties cover, and they don't. They cover things that really aren't real common. And generally, things that are super common are excluded from coverage. And you're not buying a service plan. You're buying a warranty in case of manufacturer defect or premature failure. And it really ought to be, if somebody's building a decent machine, there shouldn't be a manufacturer defect. There shouldn't be premature failure. Those things sometimes occur, but that should be just included. That's my opinion. That's my thought. I think most people just sort of take for granted that's what they're getting, and that's not the case. That's what these things cover. They don't cover the things that you do, certainly, when you go and download stuff and install. And if you didn't buy their extended add-on antivirus because it comes with a trial one, then they don't cover your virus infections. And even if you did, they don't cover your virus infection. I mean, it's people are often surprised at how limited those coverages are.
Well, in those service plans, and it doesn't matter which consumer electronics retailer you go to, the service plans have nothing to do with software. They never cover it.
Right.
It's only going to be the things you can touch with your hands, never anything you can touch with the mouse.
Well, I noticed as well, because, being from the Apple world, we sell a thing called Apple Care, which is Apple's extended warranty, which is a pretty decent deal because it covers things like software questions on the computer. So you can get free tech support and not have to pay for, you know, each phone call that you make to the manufacturer.
Right.
Also get a 3-year warranty. But when you go to a lot of these other big box stores, they'll sell optional warranties, not the Apple Care warranty, with the computer if they're selling an Apple computer. And
right.
A lot of times the turnaround is horrendous. So you bring a computer system in for repair, and it's like 2 to 4 weeks to actually get it back.
Well, it has to go to Kentucky, to their big city, they call it, right? And then they work on it there in assembly line style. And they have a nice, efficient process there. And if you happen to live in Lexington, that might be pretty cool. But for the rest of us out here in the real world, being without your laptop for 3 weeks, is that really something that you can do? So even though you have this coverage, you paid money for it, they'll cover it. They'll cover whatever your issue is. Now it's something you can't live with, and so you opt to not take it to them. And we get people all the time who have purchased warranties, extended warranties. It's covered stuff. They can't live with the amount of time it's going to take or some other hoop that they have to jump through, and so they pay then someone else to fix it. You're crazy.
You're just throwing away money at that point.
In some cases, you know, people have multiple computers, and why they feel the pain and why they don't have that laptop is because they're out their data for that time being.
Right.
And they're out their data because they don't back up in the first place.
Right.
So if the backup was done, I'd say probably half of those folks wouldn't feel that pain because they could use it on another PC. But when the thing dies, sometimes that isn't even a possibility at that point.
So maybe the best gift, the best technology gift, if you're going to give a technology gift this season, the best thing you can give someone is backup. Because we know from experience, I mean, people come in all the time who don't backup. We talk to them about backup, the importance of it, and they still say, oh, yeah, I know it's important. I'm going to get around to it. And then we see them again a few months later. I didn't backup, and guess what? That thing you told me was going to happen, it happened. So maybe that could be a great, that's like a New Year's resolution and a holiday gift combined. You're going to resolve for them to back up, and you're just going to
And backup can be very simple. It could be as simple as a flash drive. If you know, maybe it's just Quicken files that you have on your computer, and that's the only thing that you need backed up. It'll fit on a flash drive, and it's very easy to get that information on there if you don't care about any of your other data.
Well,
you know, if you have pictures and email that you want to save as well, maybe get yourself a small hard drive.
Well, there's things out there now that are, you know, for the most part cheaper than the thumb drive, at least initially. And you can do an online backup so you don't lose the thumb drive or accidentally wash it because you left it in your pants.
True.
You've got something you can access from
and
anywhere.
Plus, it's automated,
for a few bucks
too.
A month.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
You don't have to think about doing it. That's always a key with backup, we find. If you got to think about doing it,
like, oh, man, I forgot, and as opposed to something that just automatically does it for you. You don't have to worry about it. Like, if the computer's idle, it'll just start uploading your files for you.
Yeah.
Well, you see how a simple discussion about a $300 laptop has turned into all these other things? And the reason it's turned into all these other things is because you're talking to a group of guys who work in the real world every day with people that come in who are frustrated. And this all started out of the real discussion about somebody who bought the $300 laptop. It's now been a couple of months. The blush is off the bloom, so to speak. They're there, frustrated, and now they're spending more money, and ultimately they're still not happy. They have these issues. They don't have coverage. You can avoid all that.
Well, these are the same conversations that we have with our clients on a daily basis.
Yep. Oh, yeah, all the time.
And it just amazes me that, until going into one of our stores or one of your facilities where people are more service conscious, that they've never actually...
Service conscious. We're service conscious. I like that. We're service conscious. Anyway, we're going to talk more about the deals or some of the not such deals out there in the world for Black Friday, Cyber Monday. Of course, more of your calls and questions. And I promise, Ann, I know you've been sitting there a long time. Your ear's probably hurting. I'm going to get to you in just a second. Mary, Ted, Betty, you sit tight as well. And there's a line for you, 602-277-5827. It's the Computer Corner. Back in a flash. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We've got just over half hour of show left. Again, if you miss any parts of the show or you want to get yourself caught up, zip on over to datadoctors.com/radio and you'll see links to this week's resources. You'll see links to give us feedback, ask questions, post in our blog. You can get involved there. And, of course, you can go back in time with the previous show's link. You can go back years and years and have access to audio archives. That means this show on demand And you can click it and link it, and you can easily subscribe to our podcast if you want to do that. Do whatever you want. It's all right there. You can subscribe to our newsletter. We make it easy for you. We don't sell your name. We don't spam you with garbage. Just good, solid stuff to help keep you, hopefully a little bit safer and a little bit smarter when it comes to your technology. And it's just like an extension of this show, basically, that goes on throughout time. So check those things out. And let's jump back on the phones. And I believe, actually, Mary has been there longer than anybody. That's what they're telling me. And so, Mary,
yes.
You're up next here on the Computer Corner. Sorry to have you holding so long. How can we help?
I have the Excel 2007 now, and I used to have Excel 2003. And I used to be able to detach the font and the color, the little squares, you know what I'm talking about, the drop-down box. And you could take it and detach it onto the spreadsheet.
The drop-down box and detach it onto the spreadsheet.
Yeah, so if you go up to your font color and you click down on it on Excel 2003, there you get a little black X, and you can drag it over onto your spreadsheet. But
okay.
I can't do it in 2007, and I'm wondering if there's a way to do it.
Wow. I got to be honest. I don't think I've ever done that, and everybody in the room is looking at the same way, like, what's she talking about? So I can tell you that people in general get a little bit confused by the new sort of look and feel, that ribbon interface.
Mm-hmm.
And something that may help, and I don't know if it's going to help or not, but you might switch into that sort of classic view. Do you know how to do that in Excel?
The classic view?
Yeah, I don't know if they call it classic view, but you can go back to that sort of old look and feel. And I don't have Excel 2007 in front of me, or I could give you the exact steps. But
Oh. You
go under Tools, I believe, and then Options or Miscellaneous Options.
Okay.
And in there's a bunch of tabs in there. One of them is a general tab.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's a checkbox or a drop-down or something where you can select. By default, it's set with the new ribbon view, but you can select the more traditional view.
Mm-hmm.
And in most places, Microsoft, they call that a classic view, so I'm guessing that's what they'll call it.
Okay.
But you can go back to the old sort of look and feel, and
mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if you do that, if you won't get back the traditional buttons and things, in which case what you're trying to do will just work.
Yeah.
So help me understand, you would actually drag the font color control, for example, and put
right.
it, you'd
so
embed
you,
it in the spreadsheet?
Right. For example, in the top and on your toolbar, you have, like, I have a shortcut, and I have the font color. So I drop down, I click on that to get the drop down. It gives me all the colors, right?
Okay.
So then, okay, and so then if you, in 2003, what I could do is I could bring my mouse down onto that box, and I would get a black X.
When you say bring your mouse down onto that box.
Yeah, onto the drop down square that I get.
Okay.
Okay, and then I could drag that whole open box that shows all my colors, I could drag that over onto my spreadsheet so that it was always open, so that I didn't have to click and do the drop down and choose a color every time, because in my work I use a lot of different colors, and so I would keep that on my spreadsheet, and then I could just click the color I want.
So I guess you're creating like a new little pane.
Yeah,
it
sounds like it sounds like a tear off menu.
Like you would undock it, basically.
Right, detach it. Yeah.
Okay.
Like that while it was in Photoshop.
Huh. All right. Well, sounds really cool. I wish I could help you like actually do that. That sounds cool.
Okay. Well. All right. Well, thanks anyway.
You bet. Sorry, we can't be more help. You know, it's also a good thing to check out Google's to just Google a few terms around that. Chances are somebody else had this problem and they'll have advice or tell you it can't be done.
Yeah, well, I contacted Microsoft Help, and I got an answer back that for $20 they could give me the answer that it is possible.
It's possible, but they're going to hold you hostage to give it to you, huh?
Yes.
At least you know it's possible, so now maybe a little bit of hunting out there and sleuthing. And tell you what, if you find it, Mary, would you do us a favor?
Mm-hmm.
Will you let us know, and I'll give you an easy way.
Okay.
Our website, datadoctors.com/radio.
Okay.
There's a place on the right-hand side to provide feedback.
Okay.
And if you figure out how to do this, if you would just fire us off a quick line and tell us how you did it.
Okay.
I'd really appreciate that.
Okay, and you said that you thought if I went to the tools and did it like a, what did you say?
It was a big guess, but putting it into sort of classic mode. If you want to hang on, I'll take you off the air and kind of guide you through that a little bit. But if you figure this thing out, you provide it to us, we're going to include it in a future tip in our newsletter, and you will be the author.
Okay.
Awesome, right?
Okay.
All right, thanks for the call, Mary. Appreciate it. Put her right there on hold. Take her off the air. That gives room for you, 602-277-5827. When we come back. Welcome back. back to the Computer Corner. If you want to get information delivered live to your inbox each and every week, information like, well, maybe some news or security tips or some opinions or get a preview of this show or find out what Ken's going to be talking about on his weekly CNN.com video pieces, you can get that information all free of charge, spam-free and virus-free and junk-free. Anytime, you just subscribe to datadoctors.com. Look for the box to put in your email address. Hit the subscribe button, and it kind of takes you on a guided tour from there. If for some reason your ISP blocks it, you want to get a preview before you just jump on board, don't take my word for it. We've got the last 20 newsletters posted in their entirety in our newsletter archives. You find that in our free help center. Look where it says weekly newsletter and click, and you'll see them there for your perusal. So check those out, datadoctors.com. And, of course, for links and resources to this week's show, what we're talking about here on the air today, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, some of the deals and some of the things to be aware of, you can see that at our website. Just click where it says radio show. Again, the website, datadoctors.com. Easy enough. Back to the phone. No, before we go back to the phones, it's important for us to do the old Geek Speak of the Week, and we have music for that. It's special music. Each and every week, we bring to you vernacular words, verbiage, terms, phrases, acronyms, whatever it might be from the world of geekdom. We bring that geek term, that geek phrase. We translate it through our Translator 3000. No, we tell you what it means. We help arm you with knowledge and information and power so that those geeks that try to talk down to you, those nerds, those jerks, those guys that think they're so much better than you, well, we help you know what they're talking about and talk back and let them feel a little humbled. Let them feel like regular folk, because that's what they are.
Got to one-up them.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Richard's going to give us this week's Geek Speak of the Week. Richard?
Well, this week's Geek Speak of the Week is Dead Pixel.
A dead pixel?
A dead pixel.
So a dead pixel, a pixel that has failed.
That's something that happens when playing video games.
What's a dead pixel?
Well, a dead pixel is a defective pixel that remains until the on the LCD display.
So it remains unlit. So I got a unlit pixel that's just dead. You'll see this mostly on laptops or LCD panels, the flat panel displays.
Usually on the cheaper ones, too.
Yeah, on the cheap ones. And a lot of manufacturers, people don't realize this, the ones that manufacture the inexpensive units, they'll allow up to usually half dozen or so of these before they consider the unit to be defective, meaning it's normal, quote-unquote, for the unit to have up to a half dozen of them, six of them, right, before they'll even consider any kind of warranty service on it.
Yeah, I believe unless it's in a cluster or if they're all together, then they'll replace it. But typically, if they're random throughout the screen, they won't.
And there's another catch to this. Some people think they have dead pixels, and they, in fact, don't have dead pixels. They have stuck pixels. So the difference, you ask, if a dead pixel is one that doesn't light, right? It's actually dead. The little bulb, the tiny little fluorescent bulb back there is burned out. It's gone. No more. No happen. And supposedly, there's some tricks and things you can try that'll fix them, but I don't know that that's actually reality. The easiest way to find these things, if you have an all-white background, they'll be the little black dots that you might see on your monitor. Those are dead pixels. If you have them, you have them. The stuck pixel is just the opposite. If you have an all-black background and you see something bright and shining at you.
Primary colors.
Yeah, it's one of the three colors, red, green, or blue. But sometimes it's hard to identify which of the colors, and so sometimes it's hard to see unless you have a dark-colored background. That's called a stuck pixel, and that you actually may be able to fix, and those are not considered warranty problems. So if you have lots of them, oh well, but you can sort of massage the screen, if you will. And it's said that if you have a stuck pixel, just slightly touching, you know how you can touch flat panel monitors and you sort of see like a little ghosty trail around it? Don't push real hard, but if you sort of just rub around in the area where that stuck pixel is, sometimes they'll be unstuck. So kind of a cool little tip.
Very cool, too.
And that's this week's Geek Speak of the Week. And now you know what stuck pixels and dead pixels are.
Well, that stuck pixel, too, there's sometimes a piece of software that'll randomly flash a bunch of lights.
Yep, and it'll kind of wake it up.
Yep.
Or put it back to sleep or whatever the issue is. So, head whack of the week. Do you know what a head whack is? You know why we call them head whacks of the week? They're things that make you kind of frustrated about your computing experience. And we have one of those each week, and sometimes they're humorous, and sometimes they're just things that actually frustrate you, and sometimes they're solutions to the problems that frustrate you. We have a head whack this week that's special and near and dear to Richard's heart as well. And Richard,
I want the headwreck of the week is I want to copy a file, not move a file.
So you're trying to take a file, and we see this all the time. Somebody wants to get it from point A to point B, but they want to take a copy of it, leaving the original behind. And if you just drag and drop things in Windows by default, it'll generally take it and pick it up from one place and put it in the other. But the original place it's gone from, it moves it versus copy it.
Have you ever done that one when you try to either move or copy a file? Like, yeah, say, for example, you have a few files on your desktop that you want to move, and you'll hold down the control key and try to select these files, but accidentally click off of the file, and all of a sudden you have like 20 files on your desktop.
Yeah, duplicates them on your desktop.
Yeah.
That's awesome, right?
Love that. And you have to go clean everything up after that and get everything organized again.
So there might be a better way and a solution for both those things rather than try to drag and drop them or select click and all this craziness.
How about a copy and paste?
Get them all selected and right click and hold and drag them to where you want them to be. And when you release, rather than do the copy, it says, time out for a second. You right clicked and you drugged me and dropped me. I got to ask you a few questions. What you want to do? Sucka. It doesn't actually say sucka. I threw that in. And then it says you want to copy, you want to move, or you want to cancel. And so in the case of what Richard was describing, where you accidentally just made a big copy of everything on your desktop, you have a cancel bailout option there. Or in the case where you want to actually move them, you can move. Or in the case you want to copy them, you can copy. So next time you drag and drop, try right-click drag and drop and see if it doesn't help untangle your world. How about in the Mac world? There's something similar? No?
We just drop things.
You just drop things?
You just drop things.
And mind control takes over and it's all good?
Yeah.
Yeah? I noticed in the iPhone apps, by the way, it's a big thing all of a sudden for all these apps to add this new feature. And the new feature is that rather than try to select things, you just shake the phone and it selects random junk for you.
No, yeah, like the that Spoon app.
The Urban Spoon,
the
yeah.
Urban Spoon.
But I've noticed a lot of apps. I'm getting up, you know, it tells you you've got updates to these apps on their thing. And like three of them that I updated recently, that was a new feature they added, is if you don't want to select stuff, just shake it. It'll pick a random one.
Well, it's because they didn't add something as simple as copy and paste to the latest update on the 2.2.
Yeah, when do we get that, Lewis?
They put out.
When do we get that?
Hey, I don't write the software.
But
you're
tight with Steve. Come on, when do we get that?
Well, we should make a call. Let's send an email.
Well, you go right ahead. You got the connections, bro.
You know, one thing we can't do with the iPhone to Steve Jobs is send a picture message.
Well, you can through email.
Yeah,
that's
but
what
I
want you to
be near a computer, log into a website with some crazy username and password.
By the way, that doesn't work for
works.
Me half the time.
Unless
yeah,
you're sending
works.
To has an iPhone, and they can receive those emails that you are sending.
Whatever, it seems pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's whack.
I don't know the reason. I imagine they probably don't want the iPhone to look bad if it doesn't work, but...
It doesn't work, and it looks
on
bad.
AT&T.
Well, there is one thing I wish the iPhone had to kind of go back to what we were talking about with the copying and pasting thing, is that in the BlackBerry, you used to be able to highlight a line of text, for example, and paste it somewhere or copy it somewhere.
Right, but you didn't have touchscreen in your BlackBerry. So
I did not, no.
But they have the Storm now.
The Storm. It's still
the
not
Storm.
Released yet. It's a ways
no.
away.
I saw a billboard on the way over.
I know.
Storm.
They're trying to take those of us that were on the fence and, gosh, I'm thinking about going to the dark side. We've already taken the plunge, obviously, you know. But they're trying to get those of us that are thinking about taking the plunge to hold off. Wait, we got something awesome coming. We promise you it's coming. And then they keep delaying the day of the coming. So
it's actually supposed to hit pretty big in Europe. When I was over there a few weeks back, they had a... It was advertised all over the place.
Hmm.
And
craziness. The Storm.
The Storm.
Supposedly, it's the thing that's worth waiting for.
The iPod killer.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
And that'll be the big ad that we see on the billboard. The Storm has come.
The Storm. In a world where there was a storm and an iPhone. Two men on a journey. I don't know. That's all I can do.
That's not bad, but
it wasn't bad.
I wouldn't quit your day job.
No. Definitely not. Should we, we got time for a quick call to talk
to
someone?
Let's talk to Ann.
Ann has been there for a really long time. Ann, we appreciate you hanging out and holding out for us, and how can we help you today?
Okay, I'm on a cell phone, so I hope I don't lose you.
We hope so, too.
I was doing very well. I got the wireless laser mouse, and at first it worked wonderfully, and after a couple of days, it would just freeze. I'd get no response at all, and eventually I'd get an open window that said... signal quality is low, and it suggested I change the batteries, which I did. I connected the wired mouse, and that didn't help. And they suggested I switch to another port on the tower, which I did. Now I was in email, which is where it usually happens, and it just froze. There's no light on the receiver. Now the screen is dark, of course. The screensaver kicked in, and I have no control whatsoever.
All right. So let me ask a couple of questions. If you tap a key on the keyboard, does the screen wake up? What we're trying to determine is the computer locked up, or is just the mouse sort of gone to sleep eternally?
Okay. Oh, it's...
the escape key is a good key to tap on your keyboard.
Okay, I tapped on a key. It's coming back.
Okay, so your computer's
now,
not locked.
I have the toolbar and everything except the rest of it is dark. The center of the screen is dark, black.
It sounds like something else has happened. Have you restarted the machine since all these issues started occurring with the mouse? Because it sounds like something else is going on there with the machine.
Okay, well, this happens in email every time, except that one time it did not, and I was able to reboot and just start it up, and it was fine. However, I was told that I shouldn't do that when I'm in email, that I should sign out, which, of course, I wasn't able to do.
Yeah, so a couple things I suggest. It sounds like something else is going on there with your machine. I would make sure you've got all the latest Windows updates, all the critical updates installed. I'd make sure you've got good antivirus and anti-spyware protection, that it's up to date and that it's enabled and turned on. And I would do a thorough scan. Let's make sure that you don't have something in that machine that's causing problems, and the mouse and email and everything else is getting blamed, but there could be some underlying issue there.
Okay, well, how would I do that if I'm not able to use a mouse?
Well, so if you restart the machine, you can try that and see if you get back temporary control. But the other thing is, I'm sure you had some kind of mouse before you got this wireless one, so you might go back to a corded mouse temporarily until you get these issues worked out?
Well, that's what they suggested. I tried that, and it was as though there was nothing there. That wouldn't work either.
Okay, so there's something else going on. If you're putting a regular corded mouse back in, you're restarting the machine, and it still doesn't work, and you still have the same issues, it has zero to do with this wireless mouse, and that's just throwing you off course completely. You're looking for a solution that has to do with it, and really, the issue is much deeper than that.
Yeah, but does the wireless mouse have a little adapter that's plugged into one of the USB ports? Did she unplug that when she plugged the wired mouse in?
Oh, good point. That little thing that you plugged into a USB port that talks to the mouse?
Yes.
You need to take that out when you put your corded mouse back in.
Oh, okay. Well, I think I tried that, too, because I thought of that, and I thought maybe it won't work with both of them in there.
Good thinking.
Try that again.
Okay, and definitely restart the machine when you do that, because it's got to kind of sort of reestablish its connection with the old mouse and get friends again. And if you're still having issues, then you need to get that machine checked out. There's something else going on there.
Okay, is it true that I shouldn't, when I'm in email, I should sign out, and if I don't, the account is exposed?
No, I mean, you're always best off to use the login, logout buttons and do things sort of the way it's designed. But at the end of the day, just sort of closing it down, it's okay. It's not going to hurt anything.
Yeah, no, not if you're online. You should just be able to close Internet Explorer. It's not going to hurt anything because it's not on your computer.
Okay, Ann?
Okay, thank you.
Hey, thanks for the call and thanks for your patience. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Welcome back to the final segment here on the Computer Corner. Again, if you missed any part of the show, you want to get yourself caught up to speed, down to speed, whatever the case might be, datadoctors.com/radio. And, of course, you can go back in time using the Wayback button. No, the Previous Shows button. And you can see and hear and even taste previous episodes of the Computer Corner there. It's there for your enjoyment, your perusal.
How do you taste it?
Lick the screen, of course.
Oh, okay.
Duh. But don't do it if it's an old CRT. There's too much electricity surging through that thing. Actually, just don't do it. It's probably not a good idea.
It's probably not a good idea.
No. Or you could lick it if it had a stuck pixel, right?
Yeah, I don't know about that. Oh. Not a great idea either way, I'm sure. Have you ever cleaned one of those screens with one of those little wet wipe things and then seen the color of it afterwards?
It's pretty bad.
Not so good. I don't know how it gets so dirty. I mean, I know it's a lot of it's dust, but it kind of freaks you out when you look at how... Well, that's probably just my OCD-ness coming through it. Freaks me out. But.
Well, a keyboard is filthier than a toilet lid, so...
Yeah, I don't want to know that, bro. Thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, no more. Should we see if we can help out as many people as possible?
We need to know, what are they doing for Black Friday?
That's a good idea. Let's ask them. Let's start with Betty. Betty, do you want to tell us what you're doing for Black Friday? Anything special?
No, not really.
All right. You don't want to tell us, or no, you're not doing anything?
Not doing anything.
Oh, okay. I was hoping you didn't want to tell us. Hey, before today in this show, had you heard of Cyber Monday?
No, I hadn't.
All right. See, so you learned something new, but maybe...
Yeah, I did.
Probably not what you sat on hold for all this time was to learn about Cyber Monday.
Yeah, my phone is part of my face now, but that's okay.
I'm sorry about that, but we're going to get...
I like your show, so I enjoyed it. That's okay.
We appreciate it. Thanks. How can we help you?
Okay, it's probably just a simple, well, not too simple, but I have a Dell laptop, an Inspiron 1150, that I'm trying to reinstall Windows. Well, not actually reinstall. I'm trying to, let's put it this, boot up.
Wait a minute, you're trying to boot up, what did you say it was called?
Windows XP.
Nope. Anybody in this room here of Windows X who? I'm sorry.
What?
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, I have the Dell. It's a Dell. And I have the recovery disk and the driver, you know, utilities. And it still will not boot up. The error message I'm getting is that it's missing the IE1386 file. And
I-386 files?
IE.
Really? All right.
I think it's IE.
So this is, you just try to power it on and you get this error message, and so have you tried...
It's missing a file.
Okay. Have you tried to stick that recovery disk in yet?
Yes.
Okay.
I've tried to even use a utility. I've tried to, and Well, actually, I did run the diagnostic tools that Dell has on the computer.
Yeah, those worthless, I mean, those tools that they have?
Right, and it passed everything, so...
Right, everything's perfect then, see? No problem,
yeah,
any problems at all.
Perfect! It is an old computer, I'm just trying to fix it. I haven't. So, I just got a new Dell with Windows Vista, which has automatic backup, because I was listening to your show about automatic backup your data.
See, you're a good person with your backup now. We can speak to you now. No, I'm kidding. So this error message that you're getting, Betty, it indicates something got damaged, corrupted, or is missing in your operating system. And then the path from here to you having a usable computer again does involve that restore disk. But I'm going to warn you, if you don't have things backed up there, that restore disk is generally very destructive when it comes to your data.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I don't care.
Okay.
It's just an old laptop. I'm just going to give to my grandson.
Then the restore disk is part of the steps you're going to need to take, and tell you what we're going to do, because you held on so long. I'm going to put you back on hold for just another minute or so. But then you're going to get some one-on-one attention, and we're going to tell you step by step the couple of things you got to do to get the process started with that disk. And you'll be on your road to a usable computer again in no time. For the rest of you, Nelson, Stu, and Ted, we'll take your questions off the air, too. You've been patient enough to stick around. Thanks again.